Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavy welcoming you to our time together. What a wonderful time of year this is. This happens to be Christmas Eve. And just a reminder to those who are interested, we will be having a church worship service at 11 o'clock on Sunday, the 24th of December. So that was Christmas Eve morning at 11 o'clock is a regular worship service. And then at 5 o'clock that evening, we will have a service of lessons and carols. And it will conclude with the lighting of candles and the singing of Silent Night, a beautiful service. We encourage anyone who is interested to join us as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But for this moment, we're going to have a moment of looking at God's love and what it means that God sent His Son to be born in a manger to a woman named Mary, and what it means for the world, and what it means for each of us. And then Alan Vest has prepared for us a wonderful song, Joseph's Song, which is written by Michael Card, and arranged and performed by Alan Vest today. So I hope you'll enjoy this time together. I hope it will touch your heart. And I do hope that you will take advantage of this season of the year to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, and to let God's love truly permeate your heart. So as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, at this particular time of year, we are reminded yet again of your love. We think about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and how it came about in such a miraculous way, and what it has meant for the world, for your creation throughout the centuries. And Lord, we pray now that as we hear your word, that you will open our hearts and our minds. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us as you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to see her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." This is the word of the Lord. For centuries, the promise of a Savior was the hope of the faithful remnant of Israel, which continued its realization with Gabriel's second appearance in the Gospel of Luke, this time to a young woman. Luke's simple, unadorned, unembellished account of Gabriel's announcement to Mary emphasizes the divine character of Christ's birth. The events depicted in Luke 1 reflect the message of God's love for all people forevermore. Of all the things we hope for during this season of Advent, it is often the simple things that bring the most joy. When shopping is done and the work is finished, we can turn our minds to the coming of Christ. Luke presents this gift of love four ways: the divine messenger, the divine choice, the divine blessing, and the divine child. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. With these words, the angel Gabriel announces God's call to Mary. Mary is unique in all creation, with this young woman from Nazareth being offered a pivotal role in the redemption of all creation. We see in Mary's faithfulness the model for the way the grace of God can and will use each of us for His purposes. Look at the many ways God had already acted in Scripture. God used Miriam's bravery as she kept an eye on her brother Moses, floating in a basket. She would go on to lead her people in praising God after they were brought out of Egypt. God raised up Deborah to free her people from the Canaanite king. Esther discovered that she had been placed in King Xerxes' palace in order to rescue her people from death. Mary's call came through the appearance of the angel Gabriel. Even in biblical times, hearing God speak audibly or having an angel appear with a message from God was a rare event. And while her call was singular, Mary's response of "Here am I" is part of a pattern woven into Scripture. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, and others heard God's call and responded with those words. Isaiah was in the temple when he had a vision of God on the throne with seraphim, six winged angels flying around the throne, calling out, "Holy, holy, holy." The voice of the Lord calls to Isaiah and says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah responds, "Here am I, send me." And then we come to Mary in our gospel reading for today. Gabriel lays out the plan for Mary, explaining how she is to be the mother of the Messiah. And Mary's response is the time-tested response of those who answered God's call before her, "Here am I." The people of faith, whose stories we named, share the common attribute of making themselves available to God. God calls, and they reply, "Here am I." In this, Mary is part of an ongoing pattern. God's plan always involves using ordinary people to bring about extraordinary changes. Mary's call to be the God-bearer was unlike any other in all creation. But you and I know that God calls and uses ordinary and flawed people, fitting the pattern we see working its way through human history and every Christian shares a common call to use the gifts God has given us toward the reconciliation of all the world. And it can be in very small ways. It doesn't have to be something great. It can be a simple act of love and kindness. Many of you know that every Christmas I have to tell a story of my own personal experience, a time when God truly spoke to me. It's the story of the Christmas of 2001. It was the year that my mother had passed away. My father had passed 6 years prior. And so this was going to be the first Christmas that I was alone, without either parent present. And I was feeling very sorry for myself on that Christmas Eve. I wanted to be alone. I didn't want to be bothered. And I had made my plans to spend just a quiet Christmas Eve with no one around. I had gone to a nearby grocery store there in Lakewood, Colorado, where I was living. And as I was coming out of the store late in the afternoon, and there were many, many people shopping at that particular hour on Christmas Eve, doing their last-minute grocery shopping, as I came out of the store, I was walking towards my car, not looking up. I was looking down, and I heard a voice, and it said, "Sir, will you help me?" As I looked up, there was a homeless man, obviously homeless, standing in the parking lot looking directly at me. Well, I figured he wanted money, and so I started to reach into my pocket, thinking I'll give him some money and be on my way. But the man did not want money. He said, "Will you help me deliver these cards?" And he was holding a little brown paper bag, and in it he had cards, Christmas cards, that he wanted to take to people he knew that lived in nursing homes in the area. It turns out this man had taken a bus from downtown Denver out to this suburb, and he was going to deliver these cards to bring some Christmas joy to people less fortunate than him. And bear in mind, he was homeless. He was disheveled. He looked as if he hadn't eaten in some time. Well, you know, something tugged at my heart. Something tugged at my heart. And of course, we know who was tugging at my heart. I felt totally safe in saying to this man, "Let's go." And I invited him to get into my car. We took off. And we went to two different nursing homes, very modest nursing homes, where he had friends, many of whom were disabled veterans. We went into those nursing homes, and he delivered his Christmas messages, his cards to those who were less fortunate. And as I witnessed that, I realized that my pity party for myself was absolutely uncalled for. I realized that there was a purpose for this Christmas. It was a purpose to show God's love to others and not to feel sorry for myself. And so we delivered the cards that he needed to get to his friends, and then I asked him if he had plans for a Christmas thinking, what more could I do to help this man? He told me that he had a brother that actually had invited him to come and spend the night at his home. And so I drove him to a very modest neighborhood on the in the suburbs of Denver, dropped him off, and gave him some money that was in my pocket. He looked at me and he said, "Sir, you have made my Christmas." And my response was, "No, you have made mine. I have promised that I would tell that story every Christmas because it turned my life around. It made me aware of God's presence and God's power when we are indeed available." I drove home that night with tears running down my cheeks. I called basically everybody I knew to tell them what had just happened to me. Because that man was in that grocery store parking lot at that particular moment. And when I heard the words, "Sir, will you help me?" and I looked up, he was looking at me, not at anyone else rushing past me. Well, we might expect great things from God and anticipate that He will work through the great in society. But God shows His greatness by working with anyone on the street who is willing to be used by Him. Spiritual greatness is not a matter of social class, of monetary clout, or degreed background. It is a function of the heart. Seeking to calm her, Gabriel said to the frightened young woman in verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary." His explanation, "For you have found favor with God," reassured Mary that she had nothing to fear. Gabriel had come to her with a message of blessing, not judgment. And like Noah, Mary had found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God had sovereignly chosen to use her to help carry out His redemptive purposes. The issue was not her merit or worthiness, but God's sovereign grace, which, like all His ways, is ultimately beyond human understanding. Mary found favor, unmerited, undeserved grace from God. You know, we now have generations of people who think that to find God is to find perfect peace, and that being favored by Him results in a laid-back life of comfort and tranquility. Well, the Bible discourages us of that notion. The chosen, the highly favored of God, should be prepared for hard work and sacrifice. And I think that somehow Mary understood that. The culmination of Christ's work will come when, as in verse 33, it concludes, "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom will never end." The kingdom of God that is inaugurated in the incarnation of Jesus, the kingdom of God that is inaugurated at the birth of Jesus, is to be consummated at the return of Christ and will continue forever. And friends, that is truly the message of Advent. The kingdom of God that is inaugurated in the incarnation of Jesus is to be consummated at the return of Christ, and it will continue forever. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, let us remember Joseph as Alan Vest sings this beautiful song, also remembering someone who sacrificed much in the Christmas story. Here is Joseph's Song by Michael Card, today arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is Joseph's Song.
How could it be, this baby in my arms, looking now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Flesh, not of my bone, still fatherland, this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be a father to the Son of God? And for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. The sun just seems to disappear, but when he laughs, he smiles again. How can it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be a father to the Son of God? And for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be, this baby in my arms, looking now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be a father to the Son of God? And for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be this baby in my arms? Looking now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be? How could it be? How could it be?
Wow, what a beautiful song that is. Thank you to Alan for that that really beautiful song, Joseph's Song. Well, friends, it is Christmas. And we just hope that each and every one of you who hears this message and this beautiful music we'll be able to reflect for just a moment about what it truly means to God's creation forevermore, that Jesus came as a baby, a humble, humble baby, born in a manger, with a humble mother and a man named Joseph, who was willing to endure the shame of that particular time, to see that Jesus was raised in an honorable way. And now, over 2,000 years later, the Church of Jesus Christ continues to spread the good news that God loves us. And it is at this Christmas time that we remember that God sent His love in the form of a baby. Have a wonderful week ahead, and have a very Merry Christmas. God bless you all, and thank you for listening.